Watching from home on Sports Beat Extra.
Hello everyone and welcome back for the final time to the Watching from Home podcast. I'm in tears here in the studio.
He's literally not.
Then I am. The floods actually, that's quite wet in my feet. I've been crying so much today. Because it flooded the studio.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Man
gets sweaty feet
about.
When he's tired.
Anyways.
It's sad even.
The World Cup is well and truly over. I feel like we're recording. This feels like a post-mortem more than a review really at this stage.
It is really, doesn't it?
But yeah, I feel like if you do a review maybe the day after the final, it still feels fresh. Whereas I feel like we're doing it on a Friday now. The final was on like last Sunday, nearly a week ago at this stage. It just feels, it's mad how crazy the fall off is immediately after the tournament, isn't it?
It's just gone. It's just over. I didn't realise how much free time I had.
Yeah.
Like literally every evening now I'm like, I'm free. I can do whatever I want now.
And you still staying up till 2 a.m?
No.
You were struggling during that,
even
though,
the 2 a.m.s. I was going over to my friend's house to watch him, and his house was just roasting.
Yeah.
And I just conked immediately for most of them.
It was nice, actually. I suppose, actually, as we went further into the tournament, I was finding it harder to find things to talk about because obviously we had fewer games.
Yeah.
And I felt like at that stage all the shocks were kind of
shocked
gone. Like, yeah. You know, like if Norway had gotten through, maybe there would have been an extra thing there.
But it was the top four teams in the.
Yeah, it was pretty much the top four in the semi-finals. Yeah. So, I know we were talking about last week with Jack. You obviously weren't there because you're an absolute gammon. But
well, I was really busy, and the previous week I was pushed out. So, whatever.
We had, actually, it's been 2 weeks without you, or two episodes at least without you. They were both in the same week. But it's good to have you back because we want to look back over some of the predictions we made in the first episode. But before we do that, I want to ask your thoughts on. We'll talk about the final first. We can talk about the third place one afterwards because I feel like that's a bit of an afterthought. But the final, what did you think of it? Because I went into it kind of feeling very much like I actually don't mind who wins this. And then by the end, I was like, thank God Spain won that.
I have a soft spot for Spain always. So I kind of wanted them to win. And after watching Argentina against England, I was like, don't like them. Also, sick of Messi.
Wow.
Winning everything, getting everything, give somebody else. Spain are a better team. Argentina just bought a load of scumbags, and then they just can continue to be scumbags. Enzo Fernandez and Paredes.
Oh,
I hate them.
There's a part of me that really wants to play that clip, you know, of him walking up the stand being like, unlucky Enzo.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Like, they're like getting in a fight after a game, not going off when you get a red card. It's like you're just wet wipe.
Unbelievably. Can't understand how Paredes wasn't sent off at all in that game.
Can't believe how he wasn't shot during the game.
Okay. But, like, if you just look at it, like, Enzo, to be fair, yeah, makes a couple of dirty tackles.
Paredes was, like, physically assaulting lads.
Yeah, but this is the thing. Like, Paredes made, like, way more tackles, similar to what Enzo got sent off for way before that.
And Enzo got sent off for Mountain.
Yeah.
Which was funny.
It was. But, like, that.
They were all Mountain the whole time. Even Messi.
Yeah.
He's not safe from this.
But the whole thing, yeah, he got it sent off. But actually, did you see, sorry, tangent a little bit, Messi trying to get Cucurella sent off for like slightly covering his hand the tiniest bit.
Yeah. And also there was the thing of Cucurella was running back to header a ball and he ran into Simeone, who clearly saw Cucurella coming and stopped. And they're like, oh, he ran into him. It's like, you can see in the clip, at no stage of it is he looking to see where the fella is. He just literally ran to stop the ball. Like, I don't know how you think that's a foul, like.
Yeah, really strange. It took 116 minutes for Argentina to register a single shot on goal.
Yeah, they got two in the entire game, wasn't it?
Yeah. Miguel Merino put his heart on the line, well, his head on the line. Did you see that?
Yeah, he got a black eye from it.
Obviously, genuinely, and we talk about this later, but underrated player of the tournament, I feel like.
Yeah, he was solid. Like he came in clutch a lot for Spain. Like,
well, especially like if you think back to that Belgium game. Was it the game before as well? They won 1-0. Who was that against?
I've completely lost to Portugal.
Was it Portugal?
I don't know.
Maybe it was. The tournament's so old.
I've completely forgotten.
Well, he comes up with two last minute headers in the group stage. He actually nearly scores a goal in this game as well.
Mm. Also, the Williams goal, Nico Williams goal, should have stood.
Yeah. Well, no, he was offside, was he not?
No, he stood on Otamendi's foot.
Oh, that one. Absolutely, yeah. I was raging at that. What do they give it?
At first, I was like, fair. And then the more I looked at it, the more annoyed I got.
But it's more the initial one on Marino and Otamendi. And then they're asking, is it a foul on, was it Martinez? Emi Martinez? Like they kind of went.
Yeah, well, that's what people thought. It was a foul on Martinez, but like he didn't touch him.
Yeah.
To be fair, I will say, as like, as normally he's the one that annoys me the most. Martinez, great game.
But
he was really good. He was really good. He really has a top tier quality.
Yeah, but just on that, like, amazing in the world of technology and VAR when like stuff is brought up for like the smallest of inconveniences that we don't see that brought to VAR to have a look at. Like, especially when, like, obviously he scores, you could maybe make an argument if the whistle was blown beforehand, but like, play went on and he scored, well,
the whistle straight away. Like, Spain had two disallowed goals, and like that offside, okay, it was offside, but barely. Like, it was so close. It was like his shoulder or something.
Well, see, this is why I was so worried, because I was like, oh, they're going into extra time here. And remember, we talked about the first game of the tournament where they played Cape Verde and they were held to 0-0 and they were just kind of peppering shots from outside the box kind of in the last 10 to 20 minutes. And I was like, is this going to happen again? And are they going to be brought to penalties? Because as I was like aptly reminded by the commentators on RT that like Spain do terribly when they get to penalties. They're actually like probably worse than England, and obviously England get more slack for it. But like, Spain are not good on penalty shootouts, which I always thought was like, if they get to this now, there's actually a really good chance here. And especially when we talked about Argentina coming up against Cape Verde, funnily enough, again, we're talking about if they get to penalties, Emi Martinez is arguably the best person you want in goal for that.
Yeah.
So I'm delighted Spain got their goal. I wasn't expecting them to get it. I kind of thought, like, the first half of extra time, I was like, this is going to penalties. But then second half, for some reason, they just came out and they were like peppering them.
Yeah, well, I think Argentina just got rattled, but they just made good, like we're talking about Tuchel, probably we'll talk about him making silly decisions against like France and stuff. And I know after France, who would they lose
against
to?
Argentina?
Argentina, yeah. But like De La Fuente has brought on players that made the difference, like, you know, like when Williams came on, he was just a blast of energy on Argentina to the point where they just changed their right back altogether. Like,
it was a case really of just waiting out, because like that loss of a man was always going to have an impact,
especially in the heat and especially in the pressure and everything. Like, you can't.
Well, I don't know if I rate the heat as much for like Argentinian players. Like, I think they can handle it. And same with Spanish. Like,
but like, it's just next level though. Like, you're never playing in that level of heat as a professional player. Like, you know.
Well, we kind of talked about it as well earlier in the tournament. Again, I keep harping back to this Cape Verde match, but like, remember when we were talking about they went extra time and how like tired Argentina looked?
Yeah.
And they kind of look the same in this game as well. They just happen to be getting kind of lucky.
Yeah, I don't know. They'll keep complaining anyway. 9 men, I'm glad they didn't win.
Mad to me as well that Otamendi is still playing like starting centre-back. Like, I know he obviously I know he wasn't previously.
Well, he was brought in because did somebody get injured or something?
Possibly.
But I don't know. I think it's like a Henderson type thing where he's like, he's good for the team. He's like a mentality person. Because Messi has zero personality. So I imagine Otamendi has to kind of fill in that gap a little bit. But sure, everyone that started the last World Cup final either started or played, well, it played except for at Di Maria in this one.
Did you see the manager crying at the end?
Soft boy. Wouldn't be me.
He was like, lo siento. Ooh.
Showing emotions by soft. Go on.
It seems a bit strange. The part of me would have liked, I don't know. See, the story works both ways, really, doesn't it? Whoever wins that final. For me, it's great because Spain win it, and I'm really just a massive fan of Spain. And I also thought it was hilarious that, like, given all the political like talk outside of it with like Trump imposing tariffs and giving out about Spain left, right and centre, he then has to present the World Cup to Spain
and tries to...
Well, did you see they edited him out of the celebration photos?
So fair and so valid. I do the exact same thing myself.
Like. But it just brings me back because obviously he did it previously at the Club World Cup with Chelsea.
Yeah.
But like in that one, he was kind of in the middle, like it was a scrum or something. Like,
yeah, I know.
I
think Infantino, to be fair to him, tried to get him out of it.
Oh, what a melt though. Like Infantino, like he's still one of those people who's rocking the suits and white runners, which already puts him on the bad side. But outside of that, Infantino's been absolutely lick.
Bald.
Much like any sort of person that gets into football after their playing days.
Yeah, look. At least it was, well, you didn't watch it, but the third place playoff was much more entertaining.
Yeah, I kind of feel bad that I didn't watch it, to be honest.
Most goals of any game in the World Cup.
Well, because actually, funnily enough, when Jack was on last week, I was like, do you think anyone's going to really watch this? And like, will it matter? And he was saying, and he was justifiably right, because it ended up coming out true. Like, Mbappe's still going for Golden Boot at that stage. He'll want a few goals in that. So that's already worth the watch. Like, so.
Yeah, well, 6-4. Crazy score.
Did you see? There was an interview after the match with Bukayo Saka, and the interviewer was like, I know it's only a third place medal, but it's a medal nonetheless, isn't it? And then he just kind of goes like, and then just walks off.
No, I'll be honest now. I watched the last maybe 25 minutes while I was in a pub in Dublin. So I didn't hear any of it. And except for whenever England scored, one random guy would cheer and then everyone would stare at him. And then it just ended and I was like, okay, that's that then.
Yeah.
But nobody was really like too emotional over it. But also, I don't think I was surrounded by the crowd of people that really cared too much.
It does obviously beg the question, we need to talk about the predictions we made at the beginning of this.
Do you have them
all? I have them all marked down, don't you worry. We'll talk about...
I know I have some howlers coming up.
Yeah, you do, but you have a few wins in there as well.
Okay.
I must say. So we'll touch on it because we obviously already mentioned the Golden Boot winner being Mbappe. Do you remember what your answer was to this when we did it on the first episode?
Did I say I didn't want it to be, but it probably would be Mbappe?
You did say it was Mbappe. I went for Harry Kane, which I think was a fair enough shout actually in the end.
Yeah. It was up there. It was like third, joint third.
I tell you who none of us would have picked. None of us would have thought Haaland would have been up there, and right until the semi-finals.
I mean, nobody thought Norway were going to get that far.
No, but this is the thing I always think about as well. I think maybe I should have looked more at the group stage fixtures the teams had, because you can rack up a lot in there. Like if you,
so I've 1 point.
You've 1 point. You've one point.
Early lead.
We asked which host nation would make it the furthest, and technically we're both right in this because both said Mexico, but all of them got the same
level. Yeah.
Now, one thing I will say is I think both of us kind of severely underestimated the USA.
Yeah, but also we forgot that the Trump would just change rules for them.
Yeah, but that was then they lost, up until that point they were still playing really well.
Yeah, they were doing okay, but they had a handy run. But Mexico were clearly the strongest team.
Yeah. Canada were by far the worst out of them.
Of the three teams, Mexico were the best one. So I think we allow that point for us as well.
And just in terms of the atmosphere and the fact that they were like unnerving teams going to the Azteca.
Oh, yeah.
Like that was unbelievable.
Spooky place, yeah.
Disappointing player of the tournament. We both remember this one.
Yeah. So this one we've been talking about throughout the entire tournament. We both said Jude Bellingham.
It's so bad.
And I think he's arguably up there for one of, if not the player of the tournament.
You made an unbelievable comment when we actually talked about this. I'm just going to read it out, but I will play the clip.
I think Jordan Henderson is better for the team than Jude Bellingham is.
Which is hilarious, considering Jordan Henderson's contribution throughout this tournament was getting injured singing Wonderwall and didn't play a single minute on the pitch.
I still think Jordan Henderson, when Jude Bellingham scored, he ran over to Jordan Henderson. I think Jordan Henderson levels their heads. I still don't think that was a terrible shout. Saying Jude Bellingham would be bad. That was bad, but Jordan Henderson.
Sorry, if you have a choice, say if your last pick for your roster to go to the World Cup, you're picking Jude Bellingham over Jordan Henderson. He's better for the team.
Yeah, but I don't think that will be your last choice in the thing.
No, but still,
who are you choosing before?
If you had to pick between one or the other, you're obviously picking Jude Bellingham.
Yeah, but you'd bring along Jordan Henderson anyway. Because he just comes on the pitch and he calms him down.
Taxpayers banging at your door saying, we're not paying for Jordan Henderson or Jude Bellingham. We're not paying for both Jordan Henderson and Jude Bellingham to go to the World Cup. Who are you picking?
I don't care. I'm not English, so I'm not paying tax here. Yet.
All right, never do an
dodging
hypothetical.
Tax everywhere.
Never do an hypothetical with you again. Actually, who do you think we could have put in on this category for disappointing player? Like, who's a valid one? I think Ronaldo. I think
we expected him to do what he did, though. I don't think it was... Whoa.
But for who he is, that's disappointing.
I think...
I think probably, I don't know, someone in the Germany team maybe? Like Wirtz?
Wirtz was getting a rattle, but he got three assists in four games, which is not bad.
Yeah, but how many of those were against Curaçao?
Yeah, but how many other players on the team didn't do anything? You can't really say, oh yeah, let's target the best player on the worst, a bad team. Yeah. I would say...
I'd say Yamal, honestly.
Yeah, but he did okay.
But this is the thing. People were still talking about it after the tournament. Stand aside Lionel Messi. This is Lamine Yamal's time. It's Yamal did nothing pretty much throughout this tournament.
I would say all of Uruguay.
Yeah, that's a fair shout. But again, we're they're a disappointing team, I feel, more so than players.
Because
we have that Valverde. Yeah.
Because
good shout, yeah.
They're supposed to be defining teams, they're supposed to bring their team up a bit, and they just didn't.
I'm trying to think of anyone else. I don't think there was any too big a howlers in terms of players playing at the tournament that didn't perform to what we expected.
Yeah. I just think Netherlands in general just kind of flopped a little bit as well.
Yeah, but again, you can't really point that to any one individual, I don't feel, because there's
maybe someone like Gyökeres.
Yeah, but like, where were Sweden expected to go? Like,
I don't know, lad. You're asking me the question. I'm giving you suggestions.
I know. I'm trying to think. I think out of the ones that we think, I think Ronaldo is genuinely the top pick there. Like, no, they don't get that far.
I don't think
he's
came
poor
into,
for all of them.
I don't think we thought Ronaldo was going to be. We knew Ronaldo was just going to be.
Sure, but for what he's demanding of himself and what he's demanding of the team to provide for him, he was disappointing.
Yeah, but like, yeah, okay. I'm going to say Bruno Fernandes.
Okay, well, that's funny enough, because do you remember who your player of the tournament was going to be?
It's going to be Bruno Fernandes, and he just didn't do anything.
Yeah, I said Dani Olmo. I don't think he was the player of the tournament, but I don't think he was like disappointing either.
No, he is
pretty,
solid.
Yeah, pretty solid.
Came
player.
Out of the way with a winner's medal. So Bruno Fernandes didn't do anything. We'd speak about Ronaldo, but we knew Ronaldo was going to be a nuisance as well as just being solid. But Bruno Fernandes was supposed to be like the best midfield in the World Cup, and he just didn't really do anything. I didn't hear of a single moment where people are talking about, see when Bruno Fernandes did that.
Yeah.
We're saying about Verts and stuff, but like,
it was quietness on a lot of them. Yeah. I think, Bruno being player of the tournament, it was always going to be a rogue shout, I think, to begin with.
Because
I think people were really overhyping his sort of player of the season.
Well, I also thought Portugal were going to win, so.
Yeah. Yeah, you did. We get on to that in a second. But player of the tournament, I think good shouts here. I think Rodri, possibly. Yeah. Thought he was really brilliant for Spain.
Well, he won player of the tournament. So.
Yeah, so like I'm just putting it out there still.
I would argue people, like Mbappe kind of has to be up there. I think Haaland, in terms of culturally, I think is the player of the tournament.
Yeah, spirit of it, really. Mm. Like kind of, like we got the row, which is like, did you actually see the guy talking about the row being like, that wouldn't have made sense because Viking ships weren't like, they didn't row Viking ships or something?
No, I've...
And he did the interview with like a pair of like oars behind him. I just thought it was quite funny. It was one of those coincidences, I suppose, but like...
Boat boy, man.
Boat boy. Yeah, player of the tournament. I feel like you kind of... I'm boiling this down more so to, I feel like, cultural moments throughout it. Like, I think you could definitely give it to Vazinha.
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like, is that more of a moment of the tournament than it is a player of the tournament?
Well, like you say about Haaland, it's like the culture and the spirit. We also got, like, 7 goals for a team that definitely overperformed on what we thought they would.
I think Rogue Shout as well, I don't think has gotten enough credit from this tournament, but not Pedro Porro, sorry. Well, he was good.
He was solid,
but Cucurella...
Cucurella, yeah.
I thought he was brilliant. I genuinely think he's pretty much cemented himself as the best left back in the world. Like, I know there's not much competition.
Yeah. Well Nuno Mendes,
but again, like Portugal underperformed so much in that game that
Cucurella is going to be Real Madrid now as well, so that's going to be...
Yeah, just crazy amount of players they're signing at the moment. Overperforming team, do you remember who your one was for this?
I think it said Turkey. I think Turkey are going to do madness.
Yeah, you did. The team that won one game when it didn't matter against the USA.
I will take it. Well, they did. They did do a madness.
They did do a madness. They got one win. Went home.
There you go.
I said Sweden. I think in comparison to what you were expecting Sweden to do, I think I did relatively all right with that pick.
I think they
got out of their group.
I would say if mine was like under what I thought, yours is slightly over what you thought.
Yeah, I don't think it's anything crazy. Again, overperforming team. You could have said Norway. Cape Verde as well,
Egypt,
probably.
Well, Cape Verde are the overperforming
team. Yeah, but the fact they got out of the group, like...
The fact that they...
At the expense of Uruguay.
The fact that they didn't lose any games.
Well, until
Argentina in, what, penalties?
No, it was an extra time. They lost 3-2.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's really... Yeah, underperforming teams. It's a good one, to be fair. I think all the teams that we expected to perform, probably the top four did...
Yeah, but you have like the Germanys, the Netherlands and stuff. But like, once you get into knockouts, it is just a case of like, on the day, the spirit of everything, like, you know?
Yeah. Underperforming team, you actually got this spot on, I feel like. You said Germany.
Oh.
And that was a good shout because they obviously lost to Paraguay.
Look at me go. I win. What do you say?
I said France.
Yeah.
But like, I mean...
Semi-finals, yeah.
But we had this conversation at the time as well, being like, it feels like anything other than a final is underperforming for France.
And it is, they did underperform.
But like, part of me is like, I think they still played phenomenally. Like, I don't think they were bad on the pitch.
They just, like, shattered.
Oh, yeah, against Spain, yeah. Spain kind of just completely tore them apart.
Disassembled them, like.
But, yeah, I don't think that's a fair shout to the underperforming team. You could have said Portugal. Yeah, you do win that one. You could say Portugal. You could probably likely say... Yeah, Scotland, probably.
Scotland had more hype. McTominay was...
Uruguay, obviously, would have been in that as well.
Yeah.
There's a couple of shouts in this one.
I thought Iraq were going to do it, but they didn't. So.
No. They rocked your world. Winner and runner-up. Oh, I just want to take a second to take a bow for myself.
Okay.
Because call me fucking Nostradamus. my thought process, Argentina.
Okay.
I think they're going to get back to where they were, obviously, in 2022. I just don't think they have the quality in them this time around.
And they're going to do it like they did in 2018.
I think Spain's going to win the World Cup. I'm just putting it up there. I forgot I made this prediction until like I listened to this last night.
What did I say? I knew Portugal were going to win.
You said England were going to be runners-up.
That's not fair.
No, it's not. Portugal is very far off.
Portugal is far off, but third to second, so I win that one too.
I think that... What? No, you do not. I think... I was trying to think back when I was doing this, and I thought you said France and England, and I thought that's hilarious. I predicted the final, and you predicted third place.
Oh, yeah, no.
But no, you
didn't.
I remember
thinking Portugal were going to win.
I think, out of those, I don't think we did too bad.
No, I think we got a few.
We did get a few. I think the Bellingham one sticks out like a sore thumb.
The Bellingham one does.
Because he was just so good. Like, genuinely, like... Could arguably, actually, again, could be argued to be player of the tournament.
Yeah, he's scored the most goals from midfielder ever in the World Cup.
Did you see FIFA released their Dream 11? It was like a fan voted like starting 11.
No.
For the World Cup. So in goal was Vizinha, which is fair enough. Like that was always going to happen. I think if you put it based off performances, it's probably Emi Martinez.
Yeah, maybe. Jordan Pickford was pretty solid as well, to be fair.
Yeah, but he had a couple of howlers. Like,
Vinicius Simon had barely anything to do.
No.
He only conceded one goal.
I still don't understand how he starts ahead of David Raya.
So,
I know that the manager loves him. Like,
no, but he's been managing him for the last like 10 years. He's been managing him like under 17s, under 19s.
Yeah, darn.
And then whatever. So he just trusts him. He just knows the system. Sure, he can't give out about it. He won the World Cup of that.
True. Back four then, Pedro Porro.
Cucurella.
Martinez, obviously, of Argentina. I don't know how to say this guy's name. Upamecano,
yeah.
Upamecano.
The French dude.
I've never actually heard his name be spoken.
Damn.
Cucurella then as well in the back four then. Midfield three, Rodri, Elise and Bellingham. That's fair.
A good midfield.
That's a good midfield. And then front three, Messi, Haaland and Mbappe. I think Kane misses out here, to be honest.
I do, but I think...
I think Haaland, justifiably, though.
Haaland overperforms. Mbappe was just insane and Messi was better than Kane, so I think that's fair.
Hilariously, like, 9 out of the 11 players all from the top 4 nations, and then just Haaland and Vizinha.
Yeah, but they were the big cultural things. You were asking me before this what my moment of the tournament was.
Yeah, I'm interested to know this because you said you had it picked immediately when I asked you.
Yeah, it was Cape Verde's equaliser against Argentina.
Which one, the first or the second?
The second one.
Oh, the curler. That's unbelievable.
That's
by Cabral, wasn't it? Yeah.
My moment of the tournament because I was watching it live and we went mental.
That was insane because I remember I was talking about this because I was talking about this after the game. It's the first time in a while I've actually stood up and been like, holy shit, how is that going?
We were chatting and literally we both screamed like.
It looked uncanny valley. It looked like AI. It didn't look like a real goal.
Then he massively aura lost, ran into the crowd looking for his
aura.
and he just couldn't find anybody to stand there for 2 minutes.
No, he found his family. I actually think that's genuinely more of a moment as him finding the family in the crowd.
That was hell.
It's a bit annoying that they obviously didn't win it, but I do think it spoke volumes then afterwards that obviously Alvarez scores a very similar goal right after.
Yeah, but it wasn't
not in the same game, but like in the game after. Moment of the tournament for me, I think you could probably arguably pick a few, but I do think obviously Vizinha's first game against Spain.
He just did a madness. And
he made, was it 7-8 saves?
I think it could have been like 13 or something, no?
I don't think he got into double digits, but he definitely like had an unbelievable game.
I know it was like Eli Room for Haiti? Curaçao made like one of the like second most saves ever in a match in the World Cup or something like that.
Yeah. I also think, I'm trying to think of other crazy moments. I think
Fernandez getting sent off was great. I love that.
Enzo Fernandez getting sent off was a moment. Like, it was genuine. It had, not to the same extent of quality of player, but like, it gave off Zidane getting sent off in the final against Italy vibes.
Yeah.
I red cards really do just change a final completely. Like, they're the one place that I feel like you're actually completely screwed if you do that. Because there's no way, like, you need, like, especially as a player, if you come off the pitch and you just have to watch from the sidelines, or you probably just don't watch it at all.
Yeah, it was embarrassing for him, but I loved it.
Thoroughly deserved, like, and I think they got, like, the fact that they were fighting afterwards, well, like, come on, like, grow up.
What was your goal or moment of the tournament?
I'm going to say Vizinha in that game, but I could also say probably, this would be a cop-out, like, the whole row thing with Norway. I thought that was fun. I liked that. It was very similar to the Icelandic clap.
Yeah.
But I think in terms of moments, in terms of what kind of, I suppose, captures the essence of what the World Cup was, it's probably Vizinha having that game against Spain and then getting like 20 million followers afterwards.
Yeah. And his mom being at the next match was pretty nice.
Yeah. Well, okay. Which they finally got him there for. Oh, actually, another moment. Sorry, very quickly. Was it Aer Lingus flying out Pico Lopez's family to
the World Cup? Oh, yeah, the whole Pico Lopez story was great as well.
Yeah, it was. But I think that moment in particular when they just flew them out to the game, because I don't think they had planned, because remember they were doing a caravan to all the games, but then they hadn't planned for the groups stages.
Was it Aer Lingus or was it a private plane? They got like a private
plane. I think Aer Lingus sourced it.
I don't know.
Anyways. We'll bleep it out if it wasn't Aer Lingus. Yeah. rate this World Cup on a scale of 1 to 10.
I'm going to say 8.
Oh, it's a high one.
Yeah, I did enjoy it though, man. For like a month, it was just constant stuff and those constant matches. And your friends are always like, did you see this match last night? And waking up and checking the scores of the matches you didn't see when you were asleep. That was quite fun. I did enjoy that. And then it got to the end stages and everyone kind of gets more hyped for it then because everyone's excited to see it. And people that don't enjoy soccer were so invested in it. So it was just nice. It was a nice little situation. And now it's like, because you got to support, like, I suppose we didn't have Irish there, so we were just kind of supporting everybody.
Yeah.
And then now we're just going to have to go back to our own separate ways of supporting our teams and feeling depressed every week rather than just moments of greatness.
I'm going to give it a 6. I think it was grand.
Okay.
But I do think it probably dragged a bit.
I didn't think so. I liked it.
I don't think they expanded to 64 teams, though. I think that's way too much.
That's a lot. But it's only like,
well, actually, maybe do, because maybe we'll make it then.
Yeah. Me and you.
Yeah. Sorry, not Ireland, though.
No, not Ireland. Just me and Adrian. Okay.
Brian, this has been an absolute pleasure. It's actually sad to say that this is the final episode, but it's been nice to have you along for the majority of this ride.
Yeah, thanks. Well, thank you for being in all the episodes except the one episode.
The best episode.
Yeah, that's what the critics are saying, but I didn't want to say that.
I suppose, obviously, it kind of feels weird to put a call out to action, but if you do have any favourite thoughts from the World Cup, you can obviously always get in contact with us at Beat102103 on Instagram.
Send us a letter.
Yeah. Post into the broadcast centre, air code X91C4VN.
Yeah, what your thoughts were. Who's your favourite player? Just write on a sheet of paper and put it in an envelope.
Yeah, but in all honesty, this has been a really fun experience. I really enjoyed doing it with you, Brian. Thank you so much for joining me. This is probably going to be, was it the last podcast on the Beat airwaves you'll be on?
We'll see, bye.
We'll see. You're going to just go on a madness. Run all the shows now for the rest of your time here.
Yeah, I sure will see, bye. Who cares?
Thank you so much for listening. As always, be sure to check out Sports Beat Extra every Saturday. That'll be continuing on. Probably not in the same fun vein as this, but it will, of course, be as ever present in your life and on your podcast feeds. Thank you so much for listening. Let's
go. Watching from home on Sports Beat Extra.